No.
No, no. Fire is good. Fire is good. Yes, fire. Fire is our friend. Yes, I'll show you. I'll show you. You see? You see?
Yeah.
Do you have your cigar? Let me see. Let me see. Now. I just hold it right there. Now. Don't inhale until the tip glows.
Hi and welcome. This is the Unnamed Movie Podcast. I'm Andrew.
This is Damian.
And that is Douglas.
That is Douglas.
That was Douglas.
Like that over there.
Yeah.
Like past the wall.
Yeah.
Going down the street.
Yeah.
Somewhere.
Stop describing the podcast studio. You're breaking this wall.
Are there walls in radio?
The listener can't know.
He can't know that there aren't walls in radio.
Blow their minds. So rinky dink.
You guys are morons.
Yes, we are.
We, like, as I explained to people at work who they finally figured out that I'm a horrible person. Right, I tell them every time, it's not that I'm a horrible person, it's that I find entertainment in weird things. In small, tiny, weird things that tend to come out of people being confused or just kind of misplaced in whatever scenario they're in.
Just accept it.
I'm a terrible person.
It's time. Me and Douglas have already accepted that years and years ago.
He hasn't accepted shit. Oh. I can promise you that.
Because he's here. It's not the hair of a good person.
This week, I made my co-hosts watch, I think for the first time, we're watching a movie from this country, a Polish film.
Sure, I must have watched a Polish film.
From the director Paweł Pawlowski.
Pawlowski or Pawlowski?
Pawlowski.
What do you think?
I thought Pawlowski.
No, because it's a W, right?
Mm-hmm.
But why would you pronounce the first W as a V and the second one as a W? You know what I'm saying? Like that. Just,
I guess. Yeah. I'm just freaking up Pawlowski.
I don't know. I'm just
we
using
should,
math.
You are correct. We should be inconsistent no matter how incorrect we are to begin with. Right? We should be consistent no matter how incorrect.
Okay, so clearly today's a day of just
Andrew
not saying.
North.
No, not Andrew. It's not everybody. Everybody just saying what they did not mean to say.
I asked my co-hosts to watch this film entitled Ida.
Nazywa się Wanda Gruz. To jest jedyna siostry krewna. Powinna ją siostra poznać, zanim złoży śluby.
The movie is about this young lady who, from she was younger...
Wow, it's getting better.
She lived in a convent and she's about to take her vows to become a full-blown nun. Because, you know, that's a big deal.
So it's Calvary.
And
you make nun sound like a disease. Why would you
blown.
Get full blown
Look.
Nun? Like, is that something? Is that an STD? Is that something that you know? Is
and
catching
close to the time of her actually taking her vows. What I assume is the head nun of this convent takes her in and reminds her, "You have one relative that we know of, one living relative that we know of. You really should meet her before you do all of this because." You don't know, and you should take care of all of your personal issues that you might have. So she decides, what the fuck, let me go. I'm going to go to this relative, my aunt, that I've never met before, and apparently has constantly refused to take her on from when she was a child. And it becomes this journey for her to finally go and make peace with her parents, who she's never seen their graves, and it kind of references a lot of World War II, because this is set in the 1960s. And you kind of imagine a lot of the tragedy comes from that time period. I love this movie. The thing I love about it is, like, before I get to the photography, because there's something about its kind of photography that I adore in movies. The way this movie is put together is kind of the version of what people call a dense movie that I love. Because the thing about it is it's not one of those movies where you hear a conversation and there's something mentioned and you realize you need to Wikipedia that thing and to kind of get context into this conversation and you learn something. It's this kind of movie where everything is cut together so efficiently that the movie almost for half a second will feel as though it's moving faster than you are comprehending it at times, right? And you're constantly catching up with the movie. I found myself more and more as the movie was going on focusing on the editing. There are so many instances where it's not just Edgar Wright-esque, where it's cutting quickly and you and the movie are kind of moving at high speeds and you're kind of keeping up. But it's like, it's almost like, to give a specific example, there's a scene late in the movie where at the gravesite, when they finally get to the gravesite, where you see the guy's digging the grave, he's stopped, then you see them look in the grave, then you kind of see immediately the aunt has a skull in her lap. Like, you don't, in a regular movie, you'd have gotten a shot of her reaching down, you'd have gotten inside the grave, and there's so many moments of that where the movie kind of takes that extra step, that it doesn't want to waste the time putting that extra shot in, and you, as the viewer watching it, are able to kind of piece everything together without ever feeling perfectly lost. And it activates your brain in such a way that I don't feel many movies do anymore. They're all like, we have to show you every little step or you will be lost, and we will, that this movie doesn't, it doesn't make its audience feel dumb, right? And I like that about this movie. There are so many points where, and I think it comes from the main character of Ida, where it's so calm, it's so calculated in how it is, mainly because she almost has no emotion to what's going on, right? She's kind of just there. She is the nice convent girl, right? Who is literally just innocent. Every little situation you see her in, no matter how ridiculous it could be, the camera remains calm, it remains still, it remains steady. And I love that even more towards the end of the movie when there is a incident which occurs, and I won't give it away, and Ida goes and does something, and for the very first time in the movie, I believe, the camera actually moves. Like, you actually see a moving shot where she's walking away, right? And it kind of made me feel to the point where the movie finally had life to it. For the whole of the first hour and 20 minutes of this, actually this movie's a whole hour and 20 minutes to begin with, the whole first hour of this movie, she is the innocent convent girl. The camera is static in every shot, and everything just moves through it. It's almost as if, like you'd imagine with her life, where she was sent to this convent as a child, as an orphan, everything was told to do with her. Even this whole journey was something that she was told to do by the head of the convent, where she goes off on this journey only because they're like, we know you have a relative, go and see her. And she's just kind of going through the motions. She watches her aunt knock down doors. She watches, the first time you see the aunt, she has like some man over. And to be perfectly honest, I thought she was going to tell the girl that she was a whore. Like, that was her job. And that's why she didn't want her there in the first place. Even though it's kind of obvious that she's a very open person when it comes to her life. And I'm guessing, for what the time was of the world, it probably was a kind of blasé thing for a woman to be doing at that age, much less a judge, right? And towards the end of that movie, after what's happened with Ida Hams, the camera moves, and it just feels lively. It feels almost to the point of an Edgar Wright movie lively, where, like, you almost want some big brass music to come in and kind of give you a dance number at that point, but that's the equivalence of Lively in this movie based on the first all we've gotten. And I think it's amazing. And talking about the photography, guys, it'll come up in our top five. I kind of love black and white photography. And I love in movies, like old movies, yes, right? Old movies, it was what they had to do. So even though there are movies that look fantastic, because it was standard, they never really tried all the while to be intentionally perfect in the way they framed shots, in the way they've kind of took things in with the light, with black and white photography. I kind of love when we're talking about many movies made today, made in the post black and white movie era, where you can see that when they make this choice, 80% of the time they do it intentionally to kind of show off their own artistry. And this movie does it in droves. There's so many points where I'm like, screenshots, just make this be a screenshot moment for me. I'm happy. Because even, like, I don't know if you guys even pay attention to my computer sometimes, but my habit of my laptop is I will take a shot from a movie, and if it's not a black and white movie, I just black and white it, and I change the settings to make it like make it look gorgeous. And I find it more and more intriguing to find what movies actually look better in black and white. It's a weird little thing that I kind of enjoy doing. Side note, one of the best ones is The Departed. If you watch The Departed on your TV and you just turn off all of the color and just watch the movie, it looks goddamn gorgeous. So yeah, I kind of like this movie, and at the same time, I like it a little bit more than I would a movie that just I understood immediately, mainly because I feel at this point that this is a movie that I will watch two or three more times, and I feel like I will find more in it as I'm going through it. Because the grave scene is one little thing I caught on to. There are, like, I think three other moments in the movie where I saw the editing kind of play with you. But I'm sure there are more. There has to be. I'm betting there are more. Douglas was sitting across from me as we watched this movie, and he seemed very cold during this movie. Douglas, how did you feel about Ida?
Douglas, why do you hate this movie?
So, first off, this movie is fucking beautiful. Right? As you said, Andrew, every single shot, it's perfect. The way that he just frames it, and I'm sure there's all sorts of trickery that he had to do with the actual colors to create whatever contrast or whatever effect he was looking for. But this movie looks amazing. As for the movie itself, it was alright. It was a decent story. It's one of those stories where you kind of have to it has to somehow resonate with you. This movie almost reminds me in the way I don't know. It's one of those very one of those movies where not much happens. It's a single situation where, as you said, they tell this girl, listen, we know you seem to think that you can do this because you've done this all your life. Why don't you just go out into the real world for a little bit, see what you're sacrificing, and make sure that you really want to sacrifice all of that. They don't say it that way, but that's the way I interpreted it. Because they said to her, go visit your long lost aunt, right? Mm-hmm. And then, you know, it becomes this story of her, as you say, finding out what happened to her family and that kind of stuff. But it's very, you know, it's weird. It doesn't have much drive or much impetus in terms of I don't know. I don't even know how to describe what I'm feeling about this movie. But either way, I admire this movie. I think it's beautiful. I kind of dig the story. You know, it's not very often you get to watch a non-revenge movie.
The nun didn't get revenge.
But yeah, it's a decent movie. I'm definitely not head over heels with it like you, but I like it. Yeah. Damien?
I'm sorry, what now?
Did you watch Non-Revenge?
And Douglas said non-revenge movie. I got excited for a little while. And then I remember, no, that didn't happen. It's not the movie that happened.
It was the nun version of the rundown. It was the nun down.
Have you seen this movie? Please.
God. You know what?
have you seen this Jason Statham movie from, is it last year or the year before, called Hummingbird, or it's also called Redemption?
Redemption, yeah.
Yeah, that's the only movie that's supposed to have done love.
Oh, thanks for distracting me from his stupid joke to make a separate, even more stupid joke.
I try my best, David.
I hate all of you. Jesus Christ. You know what? Fuck this movie. For these idiots.
So the question is,
because I have to talk to you, idiots.
The question posed to you, is this movie a better non-movie than Meryl Streep's Doubt?
No, what? What are you talking about? All right,
you're going to keep making me ignoring these two things.
Ignoring these two idiots. So the thing I'll agree with, and it's the thing that's most obvious, is how the movie looks. It's spectacular. All right, the cinematography is like on a shot by shot basis. You can see where someone spent a whole lot of time making sure this movie was really pretty. The thing I'll say about the movie, though, is there's people that see black and white, that use black and white as a pejorative. That is,
definitely.
Movies black and white. If you do that, or if you think you might do that, do not, under any circumstance, watch this movie. All this will do is confirm everything you thought black and white movies are, despite the fact that that's not really true. This movie, despite being made relatively recently, I think it came out last year,
13 years,
feels old. It feels like an older movie.
Mm-hmm.
The story is told and developed much like an older movie. As you said, there's no impetus. There's nothing driving this movie along. There's no, we have to get this done.
Yeah.
There's no time pressure. It is literally this nun going from place to place to place, and then the movie kind of wraps up. It is there will be people that watch this movie and think that it is incredibly crushingly and painfully boring.
Mm-hmm.
You will know that you've crossed the realm from normal person to film snob if you actually enjoy this movie. And sadly, I have crossed over.
Hi, welcome. How are you doing?
Don't touch me. There's a lot to love about this movie. And as much as it pains me to agree with Andrew, the more times you watch this movie, you can see getting more and more out of it. Because there's a lot of things kind of packed in. And it will take some time. Like the first time you watch it, I can feel myself missing certain things and not having the context for certain things. But that's not to say that the movie is doing that thing where movies try to be difficult and they try to, oh no, this is like, you'll only understand this when you come back.
Right,
no.
Read this book and come back to me.
No, it's just they found a small story, and like the movie is about World War II and gruff shit that happened to the Jews, and so you have a sense of what this movie is going to be, and for the most part that's kind of right. But they don't, like, it's not a hammer. They're not like this was bad, this, like, you understand the situation up front. The movie at least, to its credit, shows the audience some respect. They're like, you know what happened, we know what happened. Let us not talk about all the gruff shit that happened. Let us just focus on this girl's story. And there is some overlap, because of course it's that time and rough shit happened. But the movie, there's no focus on that. There's more focus of this girl essentially getting through this entire situation so that she can go and take her vows. And there's only one aspect about this movie that feels forced. It's her, she develops a relationship with a tuba player or whatever the hell that instrument is. What is it? Horn?
What? Saxophone.
Whatever.
an alto sax.
It is
it's a sensuous instrument.
Oh my goodness.
Pretty sure it was a harp. I'm pretty sure it was a harp.
No, not a harp.
That,
a harpsichord.
That'd be kind of amazing. There's a jazz band with a harpist. I think that would be amazing.
Is that what you call somebody who plays a harp?
A jazz bow. I call him a jazz bow. That's what he goes. Dirty is what I usually call them because they're unemployed. That is the only aspect that feels forced, that kind of relationship. When you kind of see it and they kind of movie logic their way
situation. Yeah, you can understand it in the sense that as the aunt said, mm-hmm. she's like, listen, you're out.
Mm-hmm.
Thank God. Hallelujah. And if you really want to go back in, at least make sure you know why
what
it is
up.
Exactly. You know, because she's been at this place in prison essentially for 20 years or however old she is.
Don't
right?
think you understand the concept of a convent.
Yeah, they lock you up. They tell you you can't do anything naughty. And
one of the shots in this movie, which kind of set me off pace at first, comes around the time of that weird relationship, because like I think that relationship was generated just for making the end of that movie with the camera happen, right, making that whole stint of her kind of happen. But it was around that point in time, there's this one moment which kind of feels cut out of before and after, where you get a full-on frontal of her and she takes off her abbot.
Yeah.
I know nuns wear abbots. I know the thing on nuns heads are abbots, but I don't know if they call what she was wearing an abbot.
I have. Literally.
Where she takes off the abbot and you see her hair for the first time. Like I was sitting down there and I was watching, are we going to find out she's with someone at a point in time? And it never tells us. Right? It never answers that question.
Yeah.
I think she's a redhead. Thank God for that.
That's one of the things I really like about the movie too, that it doesn't really explain itself very well, and neither does it, the movie itself, or the characters, right? I mean, there, for instance, there are things, as I said, this is a revenge movie.
No, it's not. Stop saying that.
At one point,
non-revenge. We should write that movie and make that
stop
movie.
Stop promising things that the movie is not.
Amen. Let's get together and make non-revenge.
No.
You want to make non-revenge. You want to see non-revenge.
Stop it.
So this is a non-revenge movie. And at one point, they are questioning an old man.
I will find you.
Exactly. Will kill you. But no, but just in general, conversations that they have, you know, the way that the conversation goes, it's like, it's almost like they're speaking code to each other, and they understand what the other person means and what is the the undertone of the conversation and all that. But you're looking at it and you're like, I have no clue what, okay, just explain that thing, please. And they just don't. And it's frustrating as all hell, but at the same time, it's kind of, you know, it's kind of a part of the charm of this film.
Yeah, this movie is charming.
one of the history things in this movie, which kind of cued me in, and this is one of the things that I will be Wikipediaing and reading on, because guess what, Andrew does know everything about post World War II in Europe.
What?
Was the fact that you noticed all of the Russians around Poland, and like I'm just kind of sitting, I'm like, oh, that's a nice little thing that I didn't really know about, and I'm kind of curious about it now. So
I'll just say, you don't want to jump down the pole of post-war because it never ends. I'm saying, you know,
post-war is up to now.
It was the last one where there was clear lines. These are the good guys. These are the bad guys. And so people enjoy writing all they can find about that war. And so you might want to tone it back.
I don't want to, really. Like, I'll be fine with just hearing Russians occupied Poland from X to X.
You're going to find that out like page 2000 in the book. It's pretty good. I recommend some books, but I don't want you to do this to yourself. Just ignore it.
Okay. So yeah, I guess we're all positive on Idol, which sounds amazing. I was worried going into this.
Too bad we can never recommend it to normal people. Congrats, guys.
I'm going to recommend it to everyone at my office.
Yes, man.
I saw this movie, and Idol.
Then,
go and watch it.
People will know
they'll,
not to
see they'll just
to
see
anymore.
The picture, and they'll be like, nope, no.
I think something is wrong with my copy. There's no color. That's how it's supposed to be. Well, then, here.
On a side note, mentioning my black and white thing, my current background picture on my laptop is from the Royal Tenenbaums. Right, so moving on into questions this week. And last week I was talking about the idea of, and Damien loves this term, the Forgot Busters, right? These movies, which were amazing blockbusters that made a ton of money, and maybe we even liked it at the time, but something about them that as time has gone by, we just have stopped talking about them. They no longer exist in our minds. It's almost as if we've erased them from history by not talking about them anymore. And the internet responded. And like Damien, most of the responses came back with James Cameron's Avatar. Because, guys, it made literally the most money ever.
How much money that movie made.
And we are...
no one.
We just don't want to talk about that movie
anymore.
There was
people in blue costumes. There was, like, Halloween shit. And then literally the next year, I thought I was going to have to live the rest of my days going, you people are all idiots. And 1 year later, everybody, what the fuck are you? What? What's an Avatar? You mean the cartoon? I like that.
Do you think it's very possible that M. Night Shyamalan's Avatar stopped us from talking about any form of Avatar?
No, I think that movie was just so, like, I think people it just dawned on them. Holy shit. This movie's terrible. And they just went, even Sam Worthington disappeared. The only person to have survived that movie is Zoe Saldana. She's the only person to make it out alive.
Michelle Rodriguez is still doing what Michelle Rodriguez does best.
Can't prove that. Being terrible in movies.
She machetes?
Yes, she machetes. And she Fast and Furious is.
Well, alright, fine.
Also, the only other response that wasn't Avatar came from friend of the show, Rand McNeil, from over at the matinee, who responded with Pirates of the Caribbean Part Dos and Part Tres. We don't talk about those movies.
I think even part one at this, I think all of them. We've just wrapped them in our ball.
You think it's like the franchise got worse as it went along, and eventually we just got to that point where we're like,
guys,
they're not talking
guys,
about
let's just
Pirates.
Pretend that whole thing didn't happen. Yeah, there's a lot of... I don't even remember, like, that's just how bad those other movies got. I don't even remember, like, in the first one. I just think of Pirates and I don't know why. I remember going to watch all of them.
I still watched the first three.
Chow Yun Fat was in one of them?
Yes, he was in the third one.
I went,
when they were doing the world, yeah. They were doing the international pirates.
I remember
and
seeing
every,
him in there
every ethnicity had to
what
show up.
God, a Chinese pirate? So, alright, you know what movie? Disney, leave me alone.
And they're still making part five.
I think that's when Disney realized. We need to buy Marvel now. Like now. We have to do it now.
Johnny Depp won't keep us rich forever.
Yeah, we've milled all of this. And then they're like, what about we give him one more shot? I'm like, alright. Johnny Depp, what do you want to make? The Lone Ranger. And they're like, that's dumb, but let's go. And that made $13. Alright, you know what?
Pirates movies for the rest of your life, Johnny Depp. That's all you're going
to do. I just like for the rest, for like the next 20 years, it's just going to be DC Marvel, DC Marvel, DC Marvel, Transformers. This is all we have to look for.
It'll all be Guardians
rest
of the Galaxy
of
movies. Everyone will get to will love Rocket Raccoon, like slowly but surely.
When did the first Spider-Man come out?
2001.
And X-Men was before.
It was 99 or 2000. Yes, one and two.
It's our fault. We fucked up. We've allowed this comic book nonsense to continue for too long. And now, we're screwed.
You kind of bring me to my question of the week.
So screwed.
Because with Guardians of the Galaxy doing so amazing, and also kind of because I just read Brian Lee O'Malley's latest comic, Seconds. He's the guy who did Scott Pilgrim.
That movie and that book. No mas.
I'm kind of curious to put it out there. It's a question that's been asked many times. I'm sure there are many lists out there. But once again, I will ask it. Comic books and movies, what is those favorite?
Preacher!
You haven't gotten a Preacher movie
God
yet.
Damn it!
I keep promising a TV show,
yeah.
And it never happens.
Can't you guys just fix that? Can't you call Hollywood and don't you have their number?
I have some of their numbers.
God damn it. Just call them. Say, look, guys, Preacher.
It's never going to happen. They see that scene in which the guy shoves the dick. The guy tells him to shove his own dick up himself, and the one after, and he goes, "We can't put that on TV."
They saw what they did with Fables and went, "We can't do this." There's two shitty TV shows.
Really?
The only thing I know that's Fable related is that video game, which I still haven't played.
I need to play that.
Yeah. And those TV shows
based on the Fable star, and I watched both of them going, it's not. So yeah, like that isn't everyone just going to come back with Dark Knight? Won't just be DK from everybody?
So we should take that out.
Take out the Batman ones. Sans Batman.
Sans the Dark Knight trilogy.
What?
Right.
What is your most favorite? And can't say Matrix.
That's not a comic book.
It might Batman as well be.
Sure, if you want to go there.
You want to do that?
I require you to watch Batman Forever like 5 times in a row for the week come.
Yeah.
Animatrix is my favorite comic. Speed Racer.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles?
Sadly. Always been bad. That's been
I will continue to enjoy those first two movies only because I was at the right age to watch them.
I don't understand how the Ninja Turtles escaped, because most of that era, like shitty movies like that, I was always on the no.
We are wrong.
Right.
You were into it. Were you into it?
I always enjoyed Ninja Turtles. I don't know how that...
Even the cartoon, right?
All of them. I don't know how that slipped past. I have no idea
how
that slipped past.
You have to have one, Damien. Come on. There has to be one. You can't be...
My track record was impeccable for a good long while. I don't understand. Right? They're like Power Rangers. Nope. What are you talking about? And on, and Ninja Turtles escaped.
I'm never going to forget this from Ninja joke now.
I want this one moment. It's what I want in a relationship, which might explain why I'm single now. Ha ha. It's kind of hard to... It's that thing when you're with someone and... You love them, and they know it, and they love you, and you know it. But it's a party, and you're both talking to other people, and you're laughing and shining, and you look across the room and catch each other's eyes, but not because you're possessive or it's precisely sexual, but because that is your person in this life. And it's funny and sad, but only because this life will end, and it's the secret world that exists right there in public, unnoticed, that no one else knows about. It's sort of like how they say that other dimensions exist all around us, but we don't have the ability to perceive them. That's what I want out of a relationship.
So moving on into our top 5 this week.
Mm-hmm.
obviously, because of Ida, I've decided for us to discuss our top five modern black and white movies.
Was Moon in black and white? I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
It was black and white when I saw it.
There was Space, which was black, and the Moon is gray, so that counts. He had a white suit on.
That's racist.
Yeah, so you can see. So yeah, I call modern black and white movies basically movies made during the time when
we were alive.
Color was default, right? Pretty much. I call it past the 60s, some people past the 70s. Make up your own rules, I guess. And I'm going to ask Damien to start.
Alright. I should just start destroying other people's lists just right off the top. And I think I'm going to do that. Lahane.
Oh, wow. I actually forgot about that one.
Absolutely forgot about that one. But that movie is
evil.
That's
amazing.
How did you do that?
I feel like I have
you
lost are... on the podcast.
Yeah, because I fucked up your lists.
But yeah. Lahane is fantastic.
Yeah, we've taught this movie to death, and it's incredible. And if you haven't watched it, you should redouble your efforts to get this movie and watch it. Because once you do, you'll buy this movie, and it's one of those movies you can put in your house, like on a wall by itself, so when people walk past, see, right, people who know will go, oh, and people that don't will won't even understand.
Like, people who know will suddenly become your friends,
and,
like,
oh, yeah,
immediately.
Oh, you watch good movies. And everybody else is like, what is that? Don't worry, it's French. You wouldn't understand.
So I guess I'm going next. And in the, you know, vein of mashing up and destroying other people's lists, my number five is a little movie by the name of Francis Ha.
No, that is the ultimate bad mind.
Fun time.
That is the ultimate bad mind.
No, not the Roots concert, stop it.
Well,
I'm happy days I got that drum right.
Yes.
Oh, I hate you so very much, Douglas.
So, calling an audible, since Francis Howe was my number two, I was pushing everything up and shoving this at the bottom. Now, guys, you have heard me discuss my seething hatred for this individual, for the one Mr. David Lynch. There is an exception, though.
No, there isn't.
Oh.
Right?
Don't do this.
And this is the 1980 film The Elephant Man.
Don't do it.
David Lynch's Elephant Man is goddamn fantastic with Anthony Hopkins in it. And when you talk about black and white photography, that movie is gorgeous. I don't know what else to say. It's like, I wish it wasn't as sideshowy as it is sometimes, but it's kind of amazing regardless.
So you wish David Lynch wasn't David Lynch?
Yes.
Okay.
I wish that every day. Every day I wake up and someone says Dune, and I just wish David Lynch wasn't David Lynch.
Only he were a real person.
He did have that great stint in Louis, though.
I don't know what you're talking about. Just pretend that didn't happen. I'd be happy. All right. Now that I've gotten Lahane out of the way, I'm moving on to Dr. Strangelove. Because Dr. Strangelove. Because Dr. Strangelove. Has anyone
mind
seen this movie at this point? Is that even possible?
It is. There are a lot of people who haven't seen it. But those are normal people.
I don't know what you're talking about. Everyone has seen it. It's so good. So painfully good. Took too long to come on Blu-ray, though. That was annoying.
Yeah.
But I still have it, so I'm fine.
Me too.
The fluids.
So, guys, not only am I going to pull my number four out of the black and white movie bag, but it's also coming out of the silent film bag. And my number four is the awesomeness What Is the Artist. I really love that movie. You know that movie, Damien? Something's wrong with
you. No, listen. When that movie hit,
It was, there was so much hype over it.
Yeah. Everybody's like, this is it. This is it. Yeah. It's over. Scrap movies. They've done it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll start and watch that movie like, you motherfuckers. Right? Didn't that win literally everything there was? I think it won FIFA World Player of the Year as well. It's ridiculous. Everybody's like,
it won Wimbledon.
This is
it
the
won
best.
Wimbledon, don't worry.
And I just sat there like, what is... I understand that the movie's good. I don't understand where all of the extra hype came from. Don't get it. It's good.
Good.
Yeah, it's good, but...
So my number four...
Alright. There was a dog.
There was another movie with a dog we saw the last week.
Mm-hmm.
It had Guardians in it as well.
Yes.
So, my number four is a movie from the land of Iran. It is a fantastic movie. I honestly don't know if you guys have seen this movie, but it is amazing. And it's a 2007 film, Persepolis.
Oh. Oh, whenever you say Iran, I think of your boy.
Yeah, I know. He hasn't made a black and white movie,
yeah,
to my knowledge.
I don't think I saw Persepolis. I saw a second one. I saw a lot,
yeah,
of Chicken and Plums or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think I saw Persepolis.
Like...
My friend Andrew lent me that movie, and we've never spoken about it since. And it didn't happen.
That movie's amazing, though.
Nope. You're incorrect.
Girl loves punk music, and it's just...
While I'll accept that The Artist is a great movie...
Not Persepolis, you won't
no
be Persepolis it? Okay.
Nope.
Alright.
I guess it's my turn. right, that's how this works. Sin City.
Fuck you.
And I wasn't putting it on my list because, first of all, it doesn't make it, and second of all, I knew you guys would grab that.
Sin City is like my next movie, son.
Sin City.
Why would you do that?
Because I have movies here that I'm fairly certain people take. And
God
so.
Damn it.
Sin City.
You're putting your order to bad mind people.
No, I'm just putting my order because. There's no way I can leave. Sin City can't be higher than this. In fact, it should not have been this high. Because there's no way it's better than Doctor Strangelove or La Haine. But I do enjoy Sin City.
Why?
Because Sin City.
Fuck you. I guess I'm going to have to do some rejiggering and juggling. But my number three, I believe, right now, I guess I'm going to have to at least go with Following. By one Chris Nolan.
Fuck.
You see, that was actually higher on my list, but
you
when there is a space, it drops
that's
down.
That's a movie which I have like on my honorable mentions, but
it
didn't make the list. Mainly because I don't think the cinematography in that movie is as good as a lot of other black and white films that
I
have on my list.
You have to understand.
I know.
I'll accept that. Nothing he said a while ago is incorrect. There's points where that movie looks real rough. However,
it's in black and white and it's an amazing movie.
And it is. Oh, Lord.
My number three goes to the most obvious pick that Douglas hates. It is Martin Scorsese's 1980 film Raging Bull.
Yep, knew that was coming up.
Because I love this movie. Actually, more recently, I've been thinking about it. I haven't watched this movie in a while, like in like a good 4 years or so. I should watch this movie again.
That's true.
I think my favorite part from this movie is one of the famous scenes where De Niro is looking at Pesci, and like you remember early in the movie him going just hit me, right? And later on in the movie he goads him into hitting him by pretending, telling him about how he did something to his wife, and you just see the scene continue, and I just love it.
That movie's real good.
Yeah.
Alright, this list is
destroyed.
The list I've come up with is real stupid now. It's just incredibly, incredibly stupid. I'm just going to go with the movies that I like more. No, I can't say that either. God damn it.
Alright, this is fucked. In Search of a Midnight Kiss. Put in
I knew that one would come up.
Wow.
I still, to this day,
enjoy that movie. That movie is alright.
I understand. I don't know what it is about that movie. I found it infectious.
I wonder if it was just a first for you at that point. Like, seeing a movie like that. Like, that style of comedy.
No.
No. It felt like that the way you talked about it.
I don't know.
Because, I mean, that is a Douglas Wheelhouse movie.
It is, like, there's movie. It's like that movie and The Young Victoria, where I can see where there's nothing truly special about either of those movies. But that does not prevent me from loving them, like, I understand that there's problems, but I don't see them when I watch them. It's only after I finish watching it. And if I'm talking to someone or reading a review about it, I go, yeah, I guess I saw all of that. I don't give a shit. So, yeah. And I think more people should watch this. I know that movie made like 13 cents. So.
Absolutely. Okay, so, I'm not sure how I should do this. Okay, here's what I'm going to do. My next is actually going to be what was my number one.
Mm-hmm.
But I believe that we're in the list busting business.
Okay. List buster buster.
Exactly.
Have you turned on your list busters?
Yes. The lists are all getting busted. Because my number two is Schindler's List.
That was my number one.
Oh, absolutely.
And that is,
that movie.
And that is the one that I knew was
the greatest.
It, like, that movie is probably the best movie on my list. I just knew there's no way I was going to get to one.
Yeah.
And someone that's it.
Well, thank you, Douglas.
Because,
I mean, a movie.
That's two movies so far, right? Mm-hmm. Two lists? Two movies on your list?
Two movies on my list.
My list buster is working.
So you need a list buster. Buster?
So, once again, calling from the bench, right? Looking for my Federico Makeda moment that only happens once in a... I kind of found
people get that joke, and we're all here.
I found it funny. They announced his sale, like official sale, and like I saw an article which posted out going like I get that you guys like him and I get that he scored, but you guys realize as far as I know, in reality, he's only scored one goal in his life, even though it's this goal. Like, he's probably played 10 years of football and only scored one goal.
Yeah, he's incredibly ungood.
I hate him so much. My audible for my number two, which audibles my number one and does all sorts of other nonsense, I'm going to go ahead and call in from my Steven Soderbergh love. I'm going to call Kafka, because Kafka I really think is an amazing movie. Like, I think it's one of Soderbergh's best, and I really love it. I should watch that movie again. I found out the other day that it's actually all on YouTube if someone wants to watch it, because you can't get a DVD. It's out of print. There's no Blu-ray.
Nope.
If you really want to watch that movie, go on YouTube and it's all there in one video. Just the whole movie.
Is it HD?
I don't
know. What?
There isn't a Blu-ray.
You heard when he said it's out of print, right?
So
it's only in SD.
Care. I don't care.
It's not even D. Number one is Pi. Hey guys.
Oh, God. Really?
Hey guys.
Really?
Pi.
Hey, that movie's so much.
Hush.
Once again, I left it off my list for the same reason I left Following off.
Yeah.
I don't think it looks as pretty as others, but yes, sure. I love Pi.
Okay. Yeah, good luck with that whole look pretty argument. Pi is incredible. Douglas doesn't like it, but he hasn't seen it in, let's say, 50 years.
Yeah, can I tell you, Pi was actually the first DVD I ever bought. When I was 18 years old.
Wow.
And or maybe 19. In that region. And I saw it and I threw up and I just I passed it
like,
on.
This DVD format fuck me. I knew they were lying.
But it was okay because I bought it alongside another little movie by the name of A Fish Called Wanda, and that movie saved my life. That movie saved that DVD purchase. That's very
so happy. So when you write the movie, if a movie can save my life,
You'll start with a fish call one, though.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you will be lightning.
You know what's funny is that I have two items left on my list. I know it's number one. And actually, both of them are directed by Jim Jarmusch. This guy must be kind of crazy.
Down by law.
Absolutely. Absolutely, Down by Law is...
Coffee and cigarettes.
That's the other one that's on there. Because
I know you haven't seen Stranger by Paradise.
Yeah. But Down by Law is the one I'm going to go for number one, because... As
stop saying okay Google.
I think you just hit.
So as I don't think anybody can really justifiably argue Coffee and Cigarettes as being better than Down by Law. There's no way.
Than pretty much any
movie. I really enjoy that movie. Coffee and Cigarettes is awesome, but Down by Law is great. I mean,
I like that movie a lot.
It's so good. It's you know, you get to see these guys just run away.
I don't know why though.
Shenanigans and Tom Waits and it's great.
Beautiful. I almost put it on my list and then I went, Damien, don't do this. You know you like it, but you don't know why. You think you do. You made excuses. You don't know.
That's the best kind of movie, though.
So my number one is Schindler's List.
No, my number one is Francis Ha.
Oops. No. All right, my number one, really. And this, some people might view as a cheat. However, I have an explanation for this.
Mm-hmm. I'm a cheat.
So, your number one is The Matrix.
And it's the Frank Darabont 2007 film, The Mist.
Oh, come on, right? Andrew.
Now, this movie came out in color. However, it's very well documented that Darabont wanted it in black and white. So much to the point that when the Blu-ray came out, you have a black and white version to view, which I own. And I kind of like watching it in black and white versus color. I adore The Mist, guys. I know Damien hates that movie with a passion. I don't know what... Douglas, have you seen it? No, I should make you watch that movie. The movie's great. Like, it's one of the...
It's not my fault. The movie's terrible.
It is your fault.
Mm-mm.
Yes.
Nope.
If you were born on a different day, mm-hmm. it wouldn't be terrible.
Nope. Logic doesn't hold up.
But yeah, The Mist, guys. I mean... We like to talk about horror movies. Damien likes to talk about how he hates them. This is probably... This is probably the best version of those horror thriller movies that you've seen. And it adds in the religious bits. And it's just kind of great. I love it. And guess what? I like Tom Jane. You don't like Tom Jane?
No, I'm shaking my head at The Mist.
You don't want to hear any of this. But yep, that's my list, The Mist.
One day someone is going to con me into watching that movie again.
Am I allowed to try to con you?
Not, no. Still too much hate. One day I'll forget. I'm like, what was The Mist again? Then watch it. God damn it!
My honorable mentions.
Mm-hmm.
Let me... clear this out so that it's fine.
Schindler's List.
I have quite a long list of honorable mentions. Last year's Nebraska, which was kind of fantastic. Which was fantastic.
Douglas shakes his head in disapproval.
A slight cheat. Pleasantville. I didn't put it on my list because it is a cheat.
It's not very good.
I like that movie.
No.
Last year's Computer Chess. Have you gone and watched that movie?
Andrew Robinson, can you stop pointing people in the wrong direction? There's good movies to be watched. Stop telling them things that are not good.
Francis Ford Coppola's Tetro. Soderbergh's The Good German.
Oh yeah. Good night, Andrew.
Actually, I didn't put that in my list. I don't really like that movie that much.
Yeah. Okay.
There's the Kevin Smith movie Clerks.
I know. God.
Right. So
that movie's so bad.
Douglas has always hated Clerks. There's a point where I enjoyed Clerks, and I don't know what happened. But over time, despite me not actually rewatching this movie, I now think I hate all of those movies.
Damien,
I don't understand
the dark side.
I do not remember those movies with any fondness whatsoever. I don't know if it is Douglas's hatred.
Or do you think it's just Kevin Smith?
Or if it is Kevin Smith, me just disliking him now. I don't understand what happened. But I know when I think or see anything that says Clerks on it, there's no funness there. I need to watch those movies again.
And the last movie on my honorable mentions was The White Ribbon.
Yeah.
Which, if we want to talk about beautiful black and white movies,
we want to talk about depressing black and white movies as well. Here's your double feature: watch Ida,
and then watch
The White Ribbon, and then take some antidepressants, go to sleep,
and hope you don't have nightmares.
Cause you try to do anything else, it's going to end up real bad. These movies are not—they're not fun movies, are they?
There's also Manhattan, but I talk about Woody Allen movies all the while. I didn't want to talk about that movie again.
My fist at you. Alright, so this has been
the only movie podcast.
It has.
Football
started, guys.
Are you looking forward to the Arsenal French match football. Tomorrow?
What?
Are you looking forward to the Arsenal what community? The community.
I'm talking about real football. The French league started.
You get to see Alexis Sanchez.
Again, that's not real football.
Are you excited for this season for Arsenal?
As much as I'm excited for all sports.
Okay.
Or do you think will Arsenal win? No.
No, I'm not going there. I'm just asking if you're excited to see Arsenal again. And like, I'm
excited to watch more football.
Right.
At this point, it's been a whole month of no football. Going into football withdrawal. We had a World Cup and I'm still just itching to watch more football. I don't know. There's something wrong. PSG draw. It's fun.
So as always, you can hear the podcast over at gmanreviews.com or iTunes or Stitcher. Feel free to rate or review the show, but I know that's happening. No, not happening. As always,
I have to download iTunes.
Damien, you can be found on the internet via Twitter.
Yep.
At Damien_White.
Is there a way to change that? Can I change it?
Your username?
Yeah.
Yeah, you can.
And be at something else.
Yeah.
There's a picture I'm going to send you guys.
Be at nowhere.
There's a picture I'm going to send you guys.
Uh-huh.
As my official entry for Arms House of the Year. you'll understand when you see the picture. It's really special.
Douglas is at DJ, or lost his name. Mm-hmm. Tweeting a lot less because he's a slave again.
Yeah, how's that going?
I don't know yet.
He starts on Monday.
No.
No, I started on Monday.
What Monday?
When this comes out.
I don't understand how time works. What?
And I'm at Gman Reviews, kind of pontificating on what I think the rap community really is about these days.
Did you say rap?
Yes.
Oh, second I thought you said rats.